Well, hello, good morning. Welcome to Bethel Evangelical Church, another live stream service on a Sunday morning. Now we're going to begin with a few verses from the scripture, and then we're going to sing a hymn together. And then boys and girls, if you'll gather around the screen, for the next couple of weeks, we've invited a guest to come and speak to us. He's a young man called Emir. He lives now in Newport. And what's clever, what he's very good at doing, is producing his own cartoons. So look out for that after. So, but I will, before we do that, we'll be introducing some of the pictures that you've coloured in as well. So it's lovely to be back, and let's begin now with some verses from Psalm 145. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name for ever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come before you again on this first day of a brand new week, a day when we remember the mighty resurrection of the Lord Jesus from the dead. And we thank you, Lord, that he not only loved us and gave himself for us, but rose triumphant. And Lord, we would ask now that your Holy Spirit would draw near to us. Lord, those gathering together as families, those as individuals in their homes this morning, Lord, we have this common purpose to praise your name, to give thanks and to sing. Draw near to us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, boys and girls, draw near to the screen now. It's been a couple of weeks since I've had a chance to speak to you. So high five for some of you. And thumbs up for others, and of course a fist bump for others as well. Now we're going to look at some of the pictures that you've sent in over the last few weeks, or Bible verses really. So we're going to begin with three that are on the same verse, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. And what I'm liking about these as well is that you notice the full verse has been written out. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross for us. There we are. So that's the first one. And the second one, we've got the three crosses in brown coloured in there. And again, the verses in each word in a different colour. And then the third one at the bottom I liked as well, because there's each line has been printed, written out in one particular colour. And again, that lovely verse from Hebrews chapter 12, which is a good verse to start the week, I suppose. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus. And then there's another one, and this goes back to before I went away on holiday. We were looking at a verse from James chapter, in chapter 3, was it? And verse 1, chapter 1, verse 22. I can see it here now, that it tells us that we do not merely listen to the word and so deceive ourselves, but we must do what it says. Do what it says. And then one final picture, a lovely verse from the Old Testament now, this one, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, speaking of God, that he has made everything beautiful in its time. And we're seeing something of that now with all the flowers and the blackberries as well that are coming up. I don't know if you've picked any blackberries. I've been doing that a couple of days recently. And so everything God has made beautiful in its time. So we give thanks to the Lord for these verses of scripture which can encourage us. Well, now then, boys and girls, without further ado, let's have a look. Look, it's very short, maybe about 5 or 6 minutes long, but let's look at Emir now and introduce you to him as he speaks to us and uses one of these cartoons that he's produced as well. So let's look at it together.
Hello, children. Thank you for joining me today as we look at the story about a little rich man called Zacchaeus. He was really rich and he had lots of money because he stole it from the people in Jericho. He was the boss of all the tax collectors, and they would take some extra for themselves before they gave it to the Romans. No one liked that. We're also going to hear about Jesus, who was passing through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. He would go to Jerusalem to die on the cross for the bad things you and me do. And as he was going, he was preaching and healing and changing people's lives. So as we look at the story of how Jesus met Zacchaeus, we're going to see how he changed him from the inside out. And hopefully you'll learn more about Jesus and come to know him yourself. Let's have a look. For Jesus' mission, the reason he'd come, he was making his way to Jerusalem. With a journey ahead, it was onward he'd go as he passed through the city of Jericho. There lived a rich man, Zacchaeus his name. The chief tax collector lived a life of shame. He stole people's money as he sat at his stall, and oh, I should mention, he was rather small.
The people here don't like me. They really are unkind. I've taken all their money though, so I don't really mind. But then I stop and think sometimes, I'd really like some friends. The money's fun to start with, but then it always ends. I know my biggest problem. It makes me very sad. The problem is my sin, you see, which means I'm really bad. It means that I'm not friends with God. It really breaks his heart. It means I can't come close to him, and we're too far apart. But I've heard about this Jesus man. He's passing very soon. He's coming here to Jericho sometime this afternoon. He says he is the Son of God. But can it really be? He says he can forgive our sins. But really? Even be?
Zacchaeus ran out to find the crowd. It wasn't too hard. They were quite loud. The streets were all full and the squeeze was quite tight. But Zacchaeus was struggling because of his height.
Oh no, oh dear, the crowd's too tall. I'm just too small to see. Ah, I know, I've got an idea. I'll climb up that sycamore tree.
He ran on ahead and readied himself and ruffled up his sleeves. And then he climbed up way up high through the branches, twigs and leaves. As Jesus passed, he stopped the crowd and turned his gaze up high. And then he gave Zacchaeus a shout as they met eye to eye.
Zacchaeus, hurry up. Come down from that sycamore tree. I want to come into your house and then I'll stay for tea.
Can you believe it? Can it really be? From all of these people that Jesus called me? It's truly amazing that I am his choice. There's no better reason for me to rejoice.
The crowd didn't like it, not one bit. They moaned and groaned and mumbled.
He's gone to be the guest at the sinner's house,
they questioned as they grumbled. What they didn't get, what they didn't see, was we're all sinners, you and me. We all need Jesus to meet with us and forever set us free. Zacchaeus then turned and he said to the Lord,
I'll give away half of the wealth that I've stored. And from those that I've stolen, I'll give even more. Not two times or three times, I'll give it times four.
At this, Jesus smiled and he turned to the crowd. He had joy in his heart and he shared it aloud. Salvation has come to this house today. He's a son of Abraham now and lives another way. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost, for which his life he gave at great cost. He died on day one and then rose on day three to save helpless sinners like Zacchaeus, you and me. Jesus is willing to forget and forgive. Through the Bible, he shows us the best way to live. By his Spirit, we learn of our Father above, of his great rescue plan and his never-ending love. So there we have it. Zacchaeus changed forever by Jesus. He was forgiven for all the bad things he'd done. And Jesus can do that for you as well. Why don't you say sorry for all the bad things you've done and come to know Jesus as your saviour and friend today? He's wonderful. And you can get to know him as we read more stories in the Bible of his love and care for people. And he loves and cares for us too. So why don't you come to know him today and trust him and thank him for saving us on that cross.
Thank you. I hope you enjoyed it, boys and girls. I certainly did. When I saw it first, I thought, oh. So I rang Emma up and I said, Emma, I said, can I have a I'll end of a couple of your talks. And he said, yeah, he was happy to do so. So that's the first one. And God willing, I will see a few over the next couple of weeks now, over the weeks of August. Well, without further ado, now we're going to read that passage that Emma was talking about. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. And we'll have a look at it in a bit more detail now with the mums and dads and the grown-ups later in the service. So Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. We read, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed up to a sycamore tree to see Jesus coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said, Lord, look, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay him back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. And for our text, we'll be looking at verse 10, but we will look again in some detail at this story and an account of Jesus meeting Zacchaeus. Now let's bow our heads in prayer as we seek God's face together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that this morning we can approach you and worship you in this manner. Lord, we thank you. We bow our hearts in reverence. You are the Father of the heavenly lights, the Father of the universe, the planets, the solar systems. Lord, you do not change like shifting shadows. You provide every good and perfect gift for our time here on earth. But we also thank you, Lord, for then the blessings daily you provide for us of food and of clothing and of family and friends and of occupation and rest, of our health and our daily strength as well. Lord, we know that you are the all-seeing God, the all-knowing one. Nothing is hidden from you. Lord, whether it be our open sins, they are known to us, they are known to you. Whether it be our secret sins, they cannot be concealed either. Our Lord, it causes us then in that measure to tremble before you. And yet, Father, we thank you for the great truth of the incarnation, that God became flesh, God became man and dwelt among us. You came yourself in the person of your Son. And dear Lord Jesus, you who are described here in this verse as the Son of Man who came to seek and to save that which was lost. Lord, you came to bring us and seek us out, to bring us back to yourself. And Lord, by that perfect life that you lived and the painful death you endured, so Lord, you could remove then our guilt, you could bear our shame, and you could endure the punishment that our sins deserved. And Lord, you removed once and for all the wrath of God that was against us. We thank you, dear Holy Spirit, you are the one who convicts us of our sin, of our need of righteousness and of the coming judgment. And Lord, as then we are fearful and trembling before you, we also come with a sense of confidence and gladness, for we know that it is a finished work that the Lord Jesus has done. Be pleased, Lord, dear Spirit of God, be pleased to turn our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning as our only hope, and fill us with joy, the joy of sins forgiven, the joy, Lord, of your guidance and of your leading day by day, and encourage us then through this week, which is unknown to us, but known to you. Lord, we thank you for in recent days for the reunions of families able to spend time together, these things that we have so often in the past taken for granted. But Lord, we continue to remember before you those in bereavement, and those who were unable to sit alongside the beds of loved ones who sadly succumbed to this virus. And Lord, who are still then grieving today and will be attending funerals this week, perhaps with more in number, but still with a sense of great sadness. Lord, we pray then that you would also help them to come to terms with their loss. And Father, for those still in hospital with this virus, and for those who are caring for their physical needs in the hospitals there, Lord, continue to grant them daily strength. And Lord, as the anxiety continues now, not so much in terms of the virus, but the uncertain future that families and employees face, the continuing need, Lord, for job security, and the concern for the payment of bills and of debts. Lord, we pray that in such times as this, you would remind us of the important things in life, and that, Lord, we would turn back to you with a sense of gladness and of joy. Lord, we also remember before you the nations where the virus still continues to have its effect, and for the health provisions, some of them so poorly equipped countries. We would pray, Father, then for all that they would need this time. And Lord, for your people then this coming week, for our time of prayer on Tuesday evening, draw near to us, we pray. And Lord, for your people in their going out and coming in their responsibilities, in work and at home, in their care of loved ones and of children. Pray for the boys and girls over the summer holiday time now, Lord, that you keep them safe and well. And Lord, for those then in a time of trial, time of temptation, a time of despair, oh, Father, would you help us to look to the rock that is higher than us, to, Lord, look to the foundation that is deeper than any great trial we might go through, and the love that even is stronger than death. So, Lord, forgive us our many sins, and continue with us now this morning as we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Well, we turn this morning to Luke chapter 19 and verse 10 for a text. And there we read this wonderful phrase. The Lord Jesus says it, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Jesus, we read, is entering and passing through Jericho. It's not his intention, seemingly, to spend long there. He's on his way to Jerusalem, the place where he will lay down his life for sinners. And as he passes through Jericho, in one sense, the Lord is passing through with us here this morning. We all have busy weeks, responsibilities and duties to undertake. And we have the short moments together, maybe 60 minutes maximum, perhaps, on a Sunday morning, just to sit down and to reflect and to consider God's word, his eternal word, his word of salvation. And as perhaps you're listening to this in your home this morning, well, the Lord is drawing near, as he did to Jericho on that occasion. But we know the Lord Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. The previous chapter 18 of Luke, and verse 31, 32, tells us he was on his way to the cross. And again, we must say that any dealings the Lord Jesus will have with us as individuals is always on the basis of his death upon the cross to remove the guilt and penalty of our sins. Now, let's consider then this coming together, this appointment, you could call it. It was a divine appointment in one sense. We'll see that in a moment. He meets a man called Zacchaeus. Now, he's described there in those first couple of verses. Let's have a look at him. He's a man. Well, that's good. There's a sense of a humanity. We can identify with him in that regard. He's a man who's employed. He's a man who is wealthy. Sometimes people think that the gospel is only a gospel for the poor. And Jesus certainly had compassion for the poor. And we know in the previous chapter, in chapter 18, Jesus had some harsh words for a rich young ruler who thought that he had done enough to inherit eternal life. And Jesus put a finger on his love of possessions and his riches. And Jesus then said at that point, you see, it's difficult for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle. And the disciples said, well, that seems to be impossible. And Jesus said, well, what's impossible to men is possible to God. And what we have in this story is an example of how a wealthy man and a rich man could come to faith. And this is a good passage for us then, living in the Western world. Okay, we certainly have concerns at the moment about employment and about pensions and about the interest rates and whether we'll have enough to get by. But in comparison to many in the world, we're very much like Zacchaeus. We're wealthy. And yet to think that the gospel is certainly for the poor, but it's also a word to the wealthy. Because you see, whether you're poor or whether you're wealthy, it makes no difference. Because the important point that the gospel is making is that we have all, in some way or another, with the temptations of the world around us, we have fallen short of God's glory. And we need to have that situation. We need to have that right relationship with God. So we can look at Zacchaeus as a man who's covetous. And I suppose if you think of the Western world and you think of perhaps how we've lived our lives over the last sort of 50 or 60 years, certainly since the end of the Second World War, there's been an acquisitiveness. There's been a sense of gathering things, a covetousness. We can't have enough. You can't have too many holidays. You can't have too many cars. You can't have enough furniture. You can't have enough clothes in your wardrobe. And in one sense, this covetousness is seen, illustrated in the life of Zacchaeus. So let's consider his covetousness first. Then we'll consider his curiosity, because he was certainly a man who wanted to see Jesus, but to see him at a distance. And then thirdly, let's have a look at his conversion. So his covetousness, it's interesting. We know that little girls sometimes, mum calls them hope or grace or joy. And then there's nothing more sad than perhaps when you see a little girl and she's grumpy. And she's nothing's right with the world. And you say, is she all right? Yeah, she'll be okay in a moment. Oh, what's her name? Joy. You think, oh dear, it's a hard name to live up to. Nothing harder perhaps for a boy to be called Christian. What a name to live up to. Well, Zacchaeus's parents, they called him Zacchaeus. And it means the righteous one, a pure one. Well, it was hard to live up to that. And we see, in one sense, it was impossible for him to live up to that sort of standard. He was not righteous in any sense. Now, we can think also of his occupation here. Here's a man, he's a rich, he's a tax collector, so he's got a job. But it wasn't a job that was well-liked by many. I suppose nobody likes paying taxes. But I suppose also as well, if you were a Jew and you were working for the Romans collecting taxes, well, people had an extra grudge against you. And we read as well, he was not only a man who was in employment, but he climbed the ladder, the promotional ladder. He is described here as a chief tax collector. So he was the man really who other people would gather the money. He would amass it. He would have already bartered or agreed with the Roman authority how much money in tax would be paid in the area of Jericho and the surrounding villages. And of course, what he would be about was be charging a little bit more than that. So he'd make a substantial profit for himself. So there he is then. He's enjoying the rewards, you could call, of his covetousness. He's rich and he's wealthy. He's having a good quality of life. So unlike the beggar who was described in the last verses of chapter 18, the blind beggar on the side of the road. And then, of course, as is true for most of us, there was something not right. He had a disability. We read he was a short man. And now that could have been as a result of genetics. It might have been his mum and dad had not all been all that tall. Or it might have resulted from illness, perhaps, when he was young. But anyway, whatever the cause of it, we are, in a spiritual manner, also have a disability. Now, he was short of height. I think he was short of friends as well because of the job he had. But he was also short of righteousness. And he was short of a right relationship with God. And I suppose that's true of us this morning. Okay, with the difficulties we'll be facing in terms of the economy, we might be short to pay our bills. We might say we'll be short, not be able to pay for the holiday or whatever. But also as well, there's this sense that we're short of righteousness, short of the right relationship with God. Now, Zacchaeus, he wasn't short of money. He was short of stature, but certainly short of friends, but also short of righteousness, short of a right relationship with God. And we're going to consider now then what that means. Well, we can think of Zacchaeus then, the story he's described as lost. This is what Jesus says at the end of the story. The Son of Man, that's the description of Jesus, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So Zacchaeus is someone who is lost. Although he's wealthy, although he's got a job, he's lost. In what sense do we mean? Well, he's lost to God's purpose in his life. He's lost to God's plan of salvation. He's lost to heaven, and he's lost to God's peace and mercy. And that's our condition if we don't yet know the Lord Jesus Christ. And despite then all the temporal wealth and possessions that he had, there was this sense of great need in his heart. And we notice this, he wanted to see Jesus. This is what we read about him. So there's his covetousness, that's his character, that's his state and condition referred to there. Covetousness is one of the 10 commandments that's mentioned in terms of do not covet. It may be perhaps that might not be, but it might be that you're a liar, perpetual liar, always covering up the wrong that you've done. It may be perhaps that you're not honouring mum and dad as you should, speak disrespectfully to them. Well, whichever one of the 10 commandments, it doesn't really matter. We all fall short of the standard of God. And Zacchaeus was in this particular aspect then of this covetousness that he had in his life. Now let's move on and consider, secondly, his curiosity. This is interesting. We read that he wanted to see Jesus. Despite all the possessions and the position that he had, there was that undefinable wanting. One of the old church fathers said, you see, there's a God-shaped hole in each and every one of us, and we fill it with all sorts of things. But until it's filled by God himself, we'll always be wanting, however much else we have. And we're beginning to see this a little bit in our sort of materialistic culture. We've got so much, and yet the sense of dissatisfaction and emptiness in people's lives, because God needs to fill our lives. This is what we're looking at. So he wanted to do what? He wanted, we read, to see who Jesus was. Now you see, he'd heard stories about him probably. You see, what sort of man was this? Zacchaeus, steady job, top of the ladder, earning plenty of money. What sort of man was this then that was coming to the village, coming to the city of Jericho, who had been a carpenter, had a steady job, and he'd given it up, given up his job security, and was now travelling from village to town and to city, preaching about the kingdom of God? Well, what a contrast to what Zacchaeus considered as important. Secondly, what sort of man was it that seemed to have very little of this world's wealth? Jesus had said, chapter 9 of Luke's Gospel, the Son of Man has nowhere where he can lay his head. And when money was due for paying the temple tax, Jesus said to Peter, well, go down and put a little rod or a little line into the water, pick up the first fish that you catch, and in the fish's mouth you will find a substantial amount of money, 4 drachma, to be able to pay then for myself and you, Peter. So here's a man then again who has very little of the world's possessions. He had to borrow a donkey to come into Jerusalem, a borrowed tomb in which he was buried as well. And then thirdly, what sort of man was this? For Zacchaeus, what sort of man was this that was performing miracles, like feeding the multitude? Luke chapter 9, the 5,000 men, plus the mothers and the children. Or healing of lepers, you read of that in chapter 17 here in Luke's Gospel. So he was dealing with hunger and dealing with disease. Not now, perhaps, I'm not saying Zacchaeus did much of it, but not by donating a little bit towards charity in that sense. But how Jesus was dealing with it was by not alleviating distress by giving money, but by the word of his mouth, by the word of his power, declaring and performing miracles. So here was a man then that was completely different to himself and he was curious and he wanted to see him. But he wanted to see him at a distance. Now, he'd probably read and heard that this man was a friend of publicans and sinners. That's how Jesus is described as he begins to outline the three parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son in Luke chapter 15. So we had some encouragement here to think that he was a friend of publicans and sinners. And so what you read, he ran ahead and he climbed up into this sycamore tree. So he had a good vantage point and he was able then to observe Jesus. Now, I think this is the main point here, that he wanted to observe who Jesus was at a distance, a safe distance. Didn't want to come into personal connection with him, didn't want to come face to face with him. And in this case, keeping ahead of the game, there he is up the tree and he's able to see Jesus. Now, we're able, obviously, to view Jesus. We can read of him in the Gospels. But there's a sense that we come a bit at a distance. It's interesting, as I'm speaking to my ministerial colleagues through South Wales and North Wales as well, they have a number of people who've never been to church, never come up the steps, couldn't bring themselves to do it. Either they can't get up early enough in the morning or whatever. But and there we are. They've never come. But at the moment, they're following the services that are being live streamed. And I suppose that's an encouragement. It's something very good. But I think what it is this. See, you can see what church is like. You can see the hymns we sing. You can hear the children's stories. You can hear the prayers. But you can do it safely now, can't you? At a distance. And provided you don't log in and give your name on your Facebook page or whatever, you could be watching this completely anonymously. A little bit like Zacchaeus, up in the tree, behind the leaves. No one could see you. And you can take it all on board without having to commit yourself to it. So you can be an observer of it all, but you don't have to be a participator. And we'll see how the Lord Jesus, he wants Zacchaeus to come into right relationship with him. So this is something that will certainly happen here. Now, the Lord Jesus concludes this story again. Notice, he says, the Son of Man has come to seek that which was lost. And the impression initially you have here is Zacchaeus now wanted to see Jesus. And Zacchaeus makes effort now to climb up into this sycamore tree and incognito almost, unobserved. To view Jesus and to see what he says and how he speaks and what he looks like. And here is he then, he's seeking Jesus. Now, is it out of interest? It might well be. It might be certainly out of curiosity. And maybe that's what's happened to you. You've heard that services are being live streamed and you're thinking, well, I can have a little look in and see what it's like without actually being there physically. So I haven't got anybody shaking my hand or pressing me or feeling pressurized, so I can view it all. Well, you're a little bit like Zacchaeus this morning. Or perhaps you've started to begin like that, curious, interested. But as you've listened to the gospel over the weeks and different voices, different faces, different presentations, but the same wonderful message, you realize you have a deep longing in your heart that needs to be satisfied. And some are those who have heart longings. They want to change. They want to be different. And perhaps they've seen the change in a member of their family. You might have had a sister and she's become a Christian. And you know the difference it's made to her life. And perhaps you might have another relation or a friend or a neighbour. And it's they that encouraged you perhaps to join us live stream. And you know, they you can depend on them. But their lives are changed. They're always attributing it all, not to that they are good. They're saying, oh, no, the Lord Jesus came into my life and changed my life and gave me hope of eternal life. So we can see it's not so much then that Zacchaeus is seeking Jesus, but Jesus was seeking Zacchaeus. Are we going to come to this now? It's not as if it's by accident here, as if then Jesus looks up as if something caught, distracted him in the corner of his eye. And then he looked up and amongst the trees, he thought, well, that can't be a bird. There's something up there. And then he happened to see Zacchaeus. You read this account and what you have is a picture of this. As he walked along at that very moment, he wasn't distracted at all by anything in the corner of his eye. He knew exactly when to look up. He knew exactly who was in the tree and he knew the person's name. Zacchaeus, he said. Zacchaeus. Now, this reveals to us something wonderful about the Lord Jesus, about his divine nature. You see, the Lord Jesus has two natures, a divine nature and a human nature. He's not half God and half man. He's fully divine. He's fully human, blended together in a mysterious way, which is difficult to explain. But the scriptures speak of both. Jesus is one who is tired, he's hungry, he's thirsty, all of which we think of a human being. But also there are these little moments where he can look up into a tree and he can't say, oh, there's a man there, find out what his name is. No, he looks up and he says, Zacchaeus, calls him by name. Now, isn't that wonderful this morning to think that the Lord Jesus, in coming into the world, knows all about us. He knows our past and our present fears. He knows our public and our private failures. That owed him my secret sins, my open sins, may all forgiven be. He knows about our thoughts. He knows about our aspirations. Now, there's something quite terrifying when somebody knows all about us. A.W. Tozer, he died in the 1960s, an American pastor. He said that God knows every person through and through can be a cause of shaking fear to those who have something to hide, some unforsaken sin, some secret crime committed against men or God. You'll get away with nothing, said Tozer. And I suppose that is what the scriptures tell us. Psalm 90 verse 8 says, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. But when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, as Zacchaeus will come, as we come to him and we repent, as Zacchaeus repented, then we have this knowledge of God's mercy and love. And Tozer again, A.W. Tozer goes on to say this. He speaks about no talebearer. You see, if you've trusted the Lord Jesus, no talebearer can inform on us, because God knows all about us. No enemy can make an accusation and bring it before God. Cannot make it stick. No forgotten skeleton can fall out of the closet and expose our past. No unsuspected weakness in our character can come to light and turn God away from us. Why? Well, he knew utterly. He knew us utterly before. He knew us and he called us to himself with a full knowledge of everything that was against us. And the lovely phrase in the Apostle Paul as he spoke to the Romans, that God loved us even while we were yet sinners. Wasn't waiting for us to get better. Wasn't waiting for us to promise to turn over a new leaf. No, he came to offer us a new life. And that's what we have to consider here. So Jesus knew that Zacchaeus was a name. Knew his name, what it meant, a righteous one, and knew he wasn't righteous. And yet Jesus saw him, not only as he was, but what he could become. And then he commends him to come down from the tree, to make haste, to come down. The Lord's dealings with people is of an urgent nature. Make haste, he says. Come down. Come down at once. Come down immediately. The Lord always deals thoroughly with those he loves and seeks to draw to himself. It's never rushed. And sometimes this experience then of coming to faith, for some people, they hear the message and they believe straight away. For others, it's more of a gradual process. But I'll tell you this, although it's never rushed, it's always urgent. The impression left here is that there's no moment to lose. Now, historically, that was the case. Jesus was on his way, passing through Jericho, on his way to Jerusalem to accomplish this great death upon the cross for our sins. Not a minute to waste. The opportunity had to be seized. And we've got to make the most of the opportunities that are given to us. And here's a gospel opportunity this morning. We're also then seeing the Lord dealing with him in terms, come down, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus had to come down. He had to come away from that incognito position, this just wanting to be an observer. No, he had to face Jesus face to face. And Zacchaeus had to face himself face to face as he realized who Jesus was. We must give up the plans we have perhaps of seeking Jesus at a safe distance. We've got to come down, not only physically from the tree as Zacchaeus did, but we have to come down in humility, in a subdued spirit, and acknowledge that the Lord God knows all about us. And then that lovely phrase, today I must abide in your house. I must We sing it with the boys and girls, have tea at your house. But it was more have a meal, yes, and abide and stay. To actually stop over, to remain overnight. And the Lord, you see, doesn't only want to come to us for 60 minutes on a Sunday morning. He wants to be with us every hour of the day, of every week, of every month, of every year of our remaining life. Now let's consider the conversion of Zacchaeus. Thirdly, we've looked at his covetousness that describes his nature, looked at his curiosity, and now let's consider thirdly and finally his conversion. Zacchaeus' home was opened, and Jesus came to his home. His heart was opened as well, it seems, and his mouth was opened, and he made profession of faith, and he spoke very clearly. He no longer counts his self-worth by his possessions. Indeed, he feels compelled to share now his good fortune. And anything that he's done wrong in terms of overcharging, he wants to put it right. There's a sense of restitution here. And that's part of becoming a Christian. We repent of our sins to God. And then if it's possible, if there's someone we've hurt, someone we've not treated well or right, we seek to make restitution. Now we offer an apology. Now it may be that at that point, they're not prepared to accept the apology, but providing it honestly comes from our hearts, we have done all that we are required to. We own up and we confess. And this is what Zacchaeus is doing here. There's this now regard for bringing the reality of what he's done to the Lord and to speak about it. Now, when he speaks about giving money to the poor and making restitution for things he might have taken, he's not earning salvation here. Let's be clear about this. The Lord Jesus would have talked to him very clearly about the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is a kingdom of grace, not a kingdom of merit. We don't get into the kingdom of God by doing good works ourselves or by promising this, that, or the other. We are trusting in the Lord Jesus's perfect life and the death that he was about to accomplish to take our sins away. So it's not so much an earning, but it's a living out of a life now in glad and grateful praise, out of thankfulness for what God has done, that he has saved us and forgiven us our sins. We live a life of gladness in gladness, and we live a life of thankfulness. And so we do these good deeds out of gratitude. The Lord spoke of coming then to seek and to save that which was lost. And the unrighteousness of Zacchaeus was taken away by another, none other than the Lord Jesus. The penalty for all the offences that Zacchaeus had committed was borne by another, the Lord Jesus, coming on to die on the cross. The blame and the shame of all our sin is taken by another, the Lord Jesus. And the pure, spotless righteousness of the Lord Jesus is reckoned and attributed and counted as ours and put to our account. And Zacchaeus would have known, he'd have had his books with the debit and the credit, and he would have been balancing that or seeking perhaps to manipulate it a little bit from time to time, we don't know. But now the account is paid in full, and over it it's paid in full. No longer needs to be mentioned. Now, what can we say in conclusion this morning? Well, Zacchaeus had not only been saved, but he was also given assurance that he was forgiven. God, through the Lord Jesus' work of salvation, he speaks very clearly. Jesus says this, that as a result of this, today salvation has come to this house, because Zacchaeus is a son of Abraham. Now, Zacchaeus was a Jew. So in one sense, of course he was a son of Abraham. He could trace his ancestry back to Abraham, the father of the nations, the father of Isaac, the father of Jacob, grandfather of Jacob, and all that followed on, the 12 sons of Jacob. So of course Zacchaeus was a son of Abraham. But Jesus said, no, salvation has come to this house, for this man also is a son of Abraham. Well, what did Jesus mean? Well, not only that he was a Jew by descent physically, but Abraham, you see, was a man, one of the first. There, or Noah perhaps before, but as far as the covenant promise made to Abraham, that by faith and by the promise of God and by trusting him, we come to a real relationship with him. And so this wonderful picture of Abram being the father of the faithful, Zacchaeus is someone then who's come to faith as well. He's also a son of Abraham. He'd been a guilty man, he now became a good man, made good by the work of the Spirit in his heart. So let me ask then, I don't know if you're climbing any trees these days, we've got to be careful, but whatever, are you incognito this morning? Are you just observing this service, but not willing yet to participate in it? Well, the Lord Jesus wants you to come to him face to face, wants you to face who you are, and what you've done, but also who he is and why he came. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Will you be numbered amongst God's children this morning? Will you be saved? Will you be rescued? Will you have your sins forgiven? Will you know salvation coming to your house? I tell you, there are many who are able to speak of that. The change and the difference that salvation brings to a home, to an individual, to a family, to all the things that you have to go through in life. Does it mean there's no troubles and difficulties to face? But the impact that that makes of knowing sins forgiven. May God bless his word to our hearts this morning. Now to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his own blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power for ever and for ever. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us this morning. If you're able, do join us again this evening at 6 o'clock for our evening service.